My mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this past week, I was on study leave, and it was very productive. Mostly I focused on worship planning, which meant that I was looking down the road and not only focused just on this Sunday, but also on next Sunday, which is All Saints Sunday, when we honor those who have gone before us. But this Sunday, today, is designated Stewardship Sermon Sunday as a way to kick off our stewardship campaign. Now, I didn't tell you that ahead of time because I was afraid that you wouldn't show up. And on top of that, preparing for today, my thoughts kept jumping to next week, the day that we talk about death. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you about how hard it is to talk about money, that it's easier for me to want to think about death and dying in the church than it is to talk about money? I mean, we have a church. Intellectually, we know that it runs solely on donations and rental income. And that's just across the board. I mean, every church relies on that. So we know we have to talk about it, and yet we'd almost rather not. It's why I forgot, you know this. Every time we move from announcements into the introit, I usually invite you all to take a breath and to be present to this time and this space so that we can move into worship. And I forgot to do that. Because I got nervous. I got nervous listening to John talk about money. And I name that because it's true for me, and I know it's been true in the churches that I've served before this one, then it must be true for all of us on some level. So welcome to Stewardship Sunday. This is the day we begin asking you to consider what you can give financially, but also energetically, through your spiritual gifts. And if you've been resisting membership because you think that that's the threshold that one crosses to be asked for money, I'm so sorry to disappoint you. Because if you're coming here on any kind of regular basis, you will be asked as well. Which begs the question, what is all of this? What do we do here? What do you get here? Who are you here? What is it worth to you, and how can you allow all of that to be reflected in your giving, both monetarily and energetically? I had an all too common conversation with someone Friday night, who, as soon as they remembered I was a pastor, they decided to remind me why they're not religious. And I've mentioned that before. The minute the word is out, people start apologizing to me for cursing or for drinking or for not going to church and or not believing in God. And I'm just at a party. I just want to have some fun. So this man and I were talking, and he was telling me why he didn't believe in religion. And so I began asking what I always ask, which is, what is it that you don't believe in? And then the usual answers, you know, the literal word of God, creation in 6 days, or the ways that the church has hurt a lot of people, causing wars and fighting, or molestation and abuse, or the ways that it excludes gay people or poor people, or the ways in which it's hypocritical. So then I did what I always do, which is not to argue, because all of that is true. And we always have to examine where our good-natured institution fails. Because we fail from time to time. But I also reminded him that there are a lot of good churches doing a lot of good in the world, and that not all of us believe the same things or act the same way. Just like people themselves, none of us are perfect. Only God is perfect, which is why we as Presbyterians call Jesus Christ the head of the church, because it's a constant reminder of what we should be doing here. And today's scripture is a wonderful reminder of how we get it both right and wrong all the time. Just the name of the one who calls out to be healed by Jesus. The one, Bartimaeus, by the way, is the only one who gets a name in the Gospel of Mark. Everyone up to this point has been nameless, just calling out for healing. So that should cause us to sit up, pay attention to the name, Bartimaeus, Bar, which is son, Timaeus. This word Timaeus in Aramaic and in Greek parsing can mean not one thing. It can mean one of two things. It can mean either honorable or dishonorable. So we are, on the one hand, perfectly clear on why we are here, a church, to honor God who calls us to love. And on the other hand, the church is run by human beings and we get it wrong sometimes. And at times we might even be dishonorable in our attempts. So it's muddy. It's never 100% clear. And so back to that conversation that I had Friday night, this is where it got really interesting because he said something that I had never heard anyone say to me before. He said, "My mother belonged to the same church for over 40 years, and you know, she gave that church over $200,000, and then the church just closed one day." Why? What does she have to show for all that money? He said, "What a waste." So at this point in my life, I had never heard anyone say this. So I had to be careful, but it wasn't so hard. I took a moment and then I said, "She must have loved her church very much. And they must have loved her very much. And not because she gave $200,000, but because, like everything else, when it comes to God and Christ and Spirit and the church, there's a relationship at work. We are all in relationship with the church as a living presence of God's grace in the world. That's what this place is. It's a living presence of God's grace in the world. And this sanctuary, like all sanctuaries, provide for us, or should provide for us, a place to take refuge from the upheaval of what life can bring. And that's why it's so especially devastating for all of us when people are killed in houses of worship. This one place, other than our homes, should provide safety and sanctuary and peace. And when that is threatened, it shakes our core. And it makes us question everything we thought we could trust about life. And as horrific as what happened in Pittsburgh was, I mean, there are any number of events that we could choose from in just the last few weeks. Hurricanes that have created some of the most destructive forces we've seen, explosive devices being sent to one side of a political divide, name-calling and blaming by our representatives and leaders. I mean, should I keep going? Are you depressed yet? So why would I bring all of this up on Stewardship Sunday when I should be inspiring you instead of depressing you? Because I want to ask you, in response to this morning's scripture, a very specific question. And I want us all to feel the gravity of what hurts us before I ask you this. What makes you well? Jesus told the blind man, the only man with a name in the healings of Mark, that his faith had made him well. God knows this man by name. God knows you. God knows me long before we were born. God knows us by name, even before we know our own name, as we enter into relationship with God. And Bartimaeus enters into relationship with God, even as the disciples are saying no to him. So even when your friends at a Friday night party start telling you why they don't believe, we come to Jesus anyway. And Jesus is affirming that that desire to be here is enough. Our desire to be here, to be part of all of this, makes you well. So why are you here? I mean, surely there's something here for you. And we all define faith differently. And at St. Luke, we understand faith as a verb. That's our mission statement, that in the doing of our faith, we practice loving and serving others as we understand Christ to have loved and served others through compassion and inclusion and acceptance and understanding. Is that what makes you well? Can we practice loving others as a way of making all well with our soul? And expressing love as a faith-based community is a wonderful place to grow firm foundations for the shaky, shaky ground and challenges that our world and life brings us. And we all believe differently with our heads, which is why the better question than what you believe is what makes you well. And love does. And relating to one another here in a love-based community is what makes us well. It's the sanctuary and place where we get to work together and love one another, regardless of what the world says we should be thinking about the quote-unquote others. And so I hope that this past week has lit a fire for you as it did for me. It's reinvigorated my commitment to prove the world wrong and to say, no, this is the one place in my life where it no longer matters to me whether you are Republican or Democrat or Libertarian. It doesn't matter whether you're female or male or gay or queer or other. It doesn't matter here whether you're young or you're old or sick or healthy or rich or poor or an immigrant working on citizenship. There's only one thing that matters here, and that's your love for God and your love for one another. And that love is grounded in the love of Jesus Christ, who clearly loved everyone, making us one people, one children of God. So let the events of the world reinvigorate your commitment to the one place that you can come to be reminded of all of that. Where else is this happening in your life? It's not happening anywhere else in my life. Where else can you enter into relationship through service and love to create something that offers sanctuary and peace amid all the division and hatred? Where else can you trust that these are the people who will have your back when you get sick or hurt? This is the church, and it's a visible sign of God's grace in the world. So when you're thinking about your pledge, think about what makes you well. This is, like any relationship, a place where the more you put into it, the more you will get out of it. So when you serve on a committee, you develop relationships with people. When you invest your time and create together, your investment in the relationship grows with it. So yes, there is more than one way to give, but we need both. We need your commitment financially, not because we're a sinking ship, far from it. But we'd like to reach even more people and spread this love. and invite them into our home here, which needs some repairs, but mostly needs to reflect the value that we place on the church and what it represents in our lives. Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has made you well." And what does Bartimaeus do? He does the opposite. As soon as his sight was restored, he followed Jesus on his way. In other words, he became a disciple. He joined that group of disciples on their way to Jerusalem in commitment to serving. And Mark wants us to see that the blind beggar Bartimaeus was in some important ways more a genuine disciple than those who Jesus had chosen. He was the one who uttered the words that define our relationship with Jesus Christ. "I want to see you again." We can see Christ all over our life, not just in the church, to be sure. But this is the place that we gather to be reminded of that. To be reminded of the call to love one another through acts of service and acts of love. This is the place we come to be a family who can trust that the only thing that matters in this world is love. So what value can you place on that if that is what makes you well? Amen.